Ramsey TV.
Hello, everybody. Martin Zender here. I'm in Milton, New York. I've been here since Friday. It's Sunday afternoon as I'm speaking to you. I'm in Milton, New York. Where's Milton, New York? Oh, glad you asked. One moment, please. Milton, New York. Commonly known as upstate New York. It's on the Hudson River, but I am about 30 minutes south of Poughkeepsie and an hour and a half north of New York City. Like I say, I got here on Friday. My son Luke lives here, and my daughter-in-law Mushroom, the Chinese girl that Luke met. Her real name's not Mushroom. I'm actually not sure what her real name is, but cute as can be. She was named Mushroom because of her hair. It's, you know, your classic black with a short, and it used to be more poofy up here, like a mushroom, you see. So her name's Mushroom. Anyway, I'm having a nice time here with the family. I'm leaving tomorrow, so I'm going to make a short show for you here today, doing what I can. You know, I only see my kids maybe three times a year at the most. So cheers to that. Visit your family if you can. I am a blessed man in that my kids and I all love each other. We get along great. And my daughters-in-law are all fabulous. Very blessed man. It wasn't lucky. I'm blessed, yeah, but not lucky. It's hard work raising kids, as you know. Let's talk about our contribution to the gospel. I know, you're surprised to hear this. What contribution? What, we have a contribution? Martin Zender, you've been telling us for years that salvation is a gift of God. It's of grace, completely of grace. We don't contribute anything to it. Oh, but we do. I'm not undoing anything, but you're going to see what I mean here. Now, the reason one might balk a little bit at that very statement is that in the Christian world, we were taught, of course, for years, that our contribution to the gospel was to believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's your contribution. And that was said to be a very small thing. That's just, can't you do this one little thing? I mean, Jesus Christ died on the cross for God's sake and for your sake. Died on the cross, the least you can do is believe that he saved you on the cross. Can't you at least do that? And there, when you ask any religious person, but speaking now about Christians, no, I suppose it's the same for the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Islamist people, whatever they're called, Muslims, yeah. Well, they have to face Mecca. The Muslims face Mecca, what, three times a day? Yes, traditional Jewish religion, you have many things you have to do. Observe the feast. God required Israel to observe the feast. So when you talk about a human contribution to any sort of religious message, you're talking about an if-then proposition where the blessing provided by the religion, by the false gods running the religion, depends upon your pleasing the gods. You have to please the gods. This is as old as false gods themselves. I mean, Israel worshiped false gods. And I remind you, false gods are real. They're not absolute deities, but there are false deities, very powerful spiritual beings. In fact, they're the ones who organize religions because they like to keep people occupied, keep them busy, keep them doing what I'm talking about here, contributing to the false god, bringing offerings to the false god in order to keep them from understanding the true God and the nature of the message of the true God. And this is wholesale, right down the line, every single religion, the Christian religion included. It's just that different religions have different things you have to contribute. Different religions have different sacrifices you have to make, different things you have to do. And some might say, well, the Christian religion is completely free. How so? Well, you don't have to face Mecca three times a day. You don't have to, observe the Passover or observe the Sabbath. You don't have to sacrifice your children to Molech. Ah, That's a disappointment. No, I told Luke, I said, it's going to be a great visit because I don't have to sacrifice you to Moloch. He said, well, that's good, Dad. I'm glad. So let's go to dinner. I said, yeah, that's better than being sacrificed to Moloch for sure. So the Christian religion thinks itself splendid because for them, there's only one, just one little requirement, and they don't even want to call it a requirement, even though it is. They don't want to call it a requirement. But the requirement is, as you know, believe. Which to them is the easiest possible thing you can do. We're not asking much. And yet, the thing they're asking is the thing that makes it real for you. It's the thing that turns a mere possibility, which to them, the cross was a mere possibility. To them, the cross is a mere opportunity. The cross did not save anyone. If you've heard me say this many times, but I have new viewers all the time. The cross, if you're going to believe the Christian message, that the only thing you have to contribute is faith or belief, it's the same thing, same root word in the Greek. They consider that not even a work. It's like, can't you at least do this? Just acknowledge, just say, believe in your heart. I don't know how you can be sure that you're believing in your heart. But anyway, that's all they want. But they don't realize that that is a work. That's the thing that gets you saved, you see. But as I was saying, the cross of Christ in that scenario did nothing. It only provided an opportunity. It only made it possible. So if they were honest, they would have to say the cross of Christ saved no one, saved no one. That's an honest message from the Christian religion because that is practically what they believe. I mean, in a practical sense, that is what they believe. It's not practically what they believe. They do believe that. That it never saved anyone because everything depends on you. In the final analysis, even though there's that little tiny thing you have to do, it's 99.999% syndrome. That I'm famous for. I'm famous for that. I made a video. I'll link to it down here. The 99.99999% syndrome is that the Christians whitewash the hell out of salvation. And they say, well, Jesus Christ did 99.99999% of the work. Well, what's the result of that 99.99999%? The result of that is you're not saved. So you might ask, well, what's the difference between him doing 99.999% and him doing 0.00001% if in either case I'm not saved? Exactly right. In neither case, the 0.0001% or the 99%, in either case, you're not saved. So it doesn't matter whether your contribution is 0.00001 or 99.99999. It doesn't matter. That side of the equation, i.e. your contribution, is the thing that kicks it in, is the thing that makes it real. Because it wasn't real before. It didn't apply before. What an insult. You can see how insulting this would be to Jesus Christ dying for the sins of the world. He didn't do it. Didn't die for anything. He didn't. It didn't work. Okay, I'm going to turn the corner here because I'm sick of talking about the way the Christians believe. I'm sick of it. I'm already going to throw up. Hold on. I feel throw up in my mouth. Oh, okay, let's go to the truth. The truth is, the one thing that proves them wrong, I mean, there's many, many things, but one thing is there is no one righteous, no, not one. Not one is seeking God, so no one can believe. Romans 3, verses 10, 11, read all of Romans 3 there. It's fantastic. No one is able to do that. So even the little thing they're asking you, you can't do. So it's total hypocrisy to ask you to do something. And even, it's just belief, no one is even seeking God, let alone believing God. You have to seek him before you believe him. You have to know about him. You have to at least know the message. So forget about it. Here's our contribution. Turn the corner, finally. Huh, I need air, Jesus. Our contribution is being a sinner. I'm standing by this. Our contribution to the gospel is being a sinner. As in Adam, all are dying. Why are we dying? Because Adam passed death on through to us, Romans 5:12. And those who are dying are sinning. We sin because we're dying. We sin because we're mortals. As in Adam, all are doing this, every single one. If you're from Adam, you're dying, and therefore, because you're dying, you're sinning, and you are a sinner. And what did Jesus Christ come to do? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Paul said that in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, foremost of whom am I? And so if he came into the world to save sinners, we're necessary for him. He needs sinners. You see, but he's such a great savior, nobody would know about it unless they were sinners. And we think that the sin came first and salvation was a plan of God come later, like God's plan B. You know, he planned a perfect universe, didn't work out, Adam sinned, and now he's got to come up with a savior. But the truth is that the savior always had that salvation in his heart, always had that mighty power in his heart, but it can't be shown unless you have sinners. And so sin was provided for as a means to show the love of God. Thus God loves the world, John 3:16, he sent his only begotten son, right? To save the world from sin. It's love, it's the love of God. But again, the love of God needs a foil. The love of God needs enmity in order to shine, and the enmity is provided by us. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's your only contribution to the evangel. That's your contribution. If you're going to paint the evangel as a deal, you're into the deal as being a sinner, being a dying sinner. Can you do it? I think you can do it. I think you're doing a good job so far. Not telling anybody to sin. I'm not saying because this is true we should go out and sin. Did I once say that or imply it? No, I'm just saying we are sinners, and that's an absolute necessity. And I say Jesus Christ did 100% of the work. How's that? Christians will say he did 100% of the work, but they don't believe it because they're hypocrites. If he did 100% of the work, then why aren't you born saved? Great question. Thank you. Why aren't you born saved? I claim that you are born saved. I claim that the whole world was saved at the cross, and it only remains for people to be made aware of it. And belief is you becoming made aware of a fact. Everybody comes to that realization at different times. Some get it in this life, some won't get it until the eons to come when the grace of God will really be unrolled. Ephesians 2, 7, 8, 9. Read all of Ephesians, it's a great letter. So, that's your contribution. You're pretty much savior fodder. If I had to print a t-shirt up, I'd make a t-shirt for us to wear. You know, Christians have their t-shirts. Believe and be saved, or whatever. Endure to the end. Believe or else, turn or burn. Now, those are great Christian t-shirts. Mine would say, Savior fodder, Savior fodder. Now, there's a conversation starter. Well, what do you need to be fodder for a savior? You need to be a dying sinner. I qualify, you qualify. This gives all the, this takes all the glory from us and gives it to Christ. And I love it when that happens.